Today on Real Radio.
The word means that you have no need of a teacher with you constantly. You do not need to have a Socrates or a Plato walking along with you. You have the Holy Spirit. You realize right now that you can give your heart to Jesus Christ today, be born again by the Spirit of God, and move to Muckluck, Alaska, and be so far from a church. And you can hear the 10 speeds pull up, and a guy get off with the Bible and a Second Testament. And he can open up that Book of Mormon and he can talk to you all about it, even though you are in Muckluck, Alaska. And you don't have a phone number to call to talk to anybody about why you feel funny on the inside. Why what they're saying doesn't seem to jive inside you. What's the deal? You can be a brand new believer and the Holy Spirit's going, false doctrine. You cannot become a God. There's only one God, and that's me. You can't save yourself by works.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We'll be taking a look at verses 15 through 24. Here, Jesus, even though he knows he's headed for the Roman cross, takes the time to speak with his disciples. He tells them how to identify believers, makes some prophecies, and begins to allude to the Comforter. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called The Coming of the Holy Spirit.
That's the power, the strengthening, the comforting of the Holy Spirit. If you've got the Holy Spirit in your life, there's going to be boldness for Christ in your world. Has nothing to do with personality. See, well, I'm not an auditory type person. I'm not extroverted in my speech. That's fine, and I understand that. But somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit, as He possesses you, will cause you to be bold in this life for Christ. If it's writing tracts or writing a letter to a friend, somehow there'll be boldness. Are you with me? It's very important. By the way, you've heard me use this word because I love it. And it's so our word. It's so not the world's word. And that is the word enthusiasm. To be possessed by God with activity. That's what that word means. In, theus, God. Indwelling, God creates action. Asm, activity. Should mark every believer's life. A form of enthusiasm. Very important. Well, listen. In the book of Ezekiel, way back in the book of Ezekiel, thousands of years ago, the prophet foretold the coming of the Holy Spirit. In verse 36, verse 26, God says through the prophet Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. He's talking about the new life experience. And put in you a new spirit. I will take the old heart that you have of stone and put in a soft heart, a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Pause right there. All of a sudden, this has nothing to do with legalism anymore. Did you hear that? Christianity is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. No, it's this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's the deal. If in your mind you're thinking, Christianity, my Christianity, I guess I got to do this. I have to make sure I don't do that. Listen, my friend, you need help. You need the Holy Spirit. Because when the Spirit's in your life, it's like this. Lord, I want to do everything that's right and brings honor to you. I know I'm weak. I can't do it. So you empower me. You be my strength. You be my comfort. Lord, as we see here, verse 16, you be my encouragement. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is also to encourage us, that he may abide with you forever. Wow. This would have blown away the Old Testament saints completely. Why? Remember when King David sinned? He murdered Bathsheba's husband. This is a man after God's own heart. That encouraged some of you today. God says, this is a man after my own heart. Then David gets up and murders a man and takes his wife because she was a cutie. David looked at her and said, woo, she's something. Find out that she's married. He has her husband killed. He's a murderer. Then he's an adulterer. He gets her pregnant. King David. And then about a year later, God nails him. And he writes Psalm 51. And he says something back then that was very accurate. Lord, create a right spirit within me. You've all read it. Renew a right heart within me. And what? Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's Old Testament. That's true. Did you know in the Old Testament the Holy Spirit came upon God's people and then left them? Did you know that? It's a fact. He didn't reside upon or in anybody. He came to minister and then he would leave them. Until the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came to indwell the believers, he was then to never leave. Did you know that? We should not sing that song. You know that song, Take Not Thy Holy Spirit From Me? We should not sing that song. That song is not doctrinally correct. He will never take his Holy Spirit from you, ever. Because you live this side of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to indwell the believer and to come upon the believer. He encourages us. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5 says, I will never leave you or forsake you. How can that be true? By the person of the Holy Spirit. This was all new to them. Encouragement. You want to know how saved you are if you have the Holy Spirit in you today? Listen. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, in whom also, having believed, do you believe? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until God redeems us as his full purchased possessions. You ever been to Kmart? Kmart's a great place. You want to know why? If you see something but you can't afford it at the time, you can put it on layaway. And they take it off the shelf, they put your name on it, and they put it away. It's sealed because you own it. It's waiting for it. You to come redeem it. A price was given to hold it. Your name is put upon it. But when you come back to take its full purchase, it will then be your absolute possession. Now, God has purchased us in Jesus Christ. The moment you accept Christ, you're sealed until the day of redemption. We're all on layaway. It's true. We are waiting for him to come, right? To completely fulfill his redemptive promise. Here it is. It is not completely fulfilled until these bodies are translated into heaven. Did you know that? We believe in Judeo-Christianity resurrection, not reincarnation. That's from the pit. And by the way, that has no hope. Christianity and Judaism teaches in the Bible that we will be resurrected. And the absolute redemption process will be complete the day that we, A, get raptured, or B, our bodies are resurrected from the dead. Until then, we're put on layaway. We're waiting for him to come. He encourages us. That's encouraging. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, it says, as the disciples, as the believers are assembled together, he commanded them, that is, Jesus commanded them, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What a great encouragement. Isn't that something? You say, well, how does that encourage me? Because you don't live in Samaria. You don't live in Judea. You and I don't live in Jerusalem. How'd you get saved? How'd you get born again? Because the power of the Holy Spirit encouraged someone to launch out from their comfort zone and to share the gospel all the way from Jerusalem. That's where our gospel began, remember? All the way here. Don't you think that's wild? Are you guys awake? Something wrong? Is it me? This is exciting stuff. He encourages us, and I need encouragement. Point number two, the coming of our wonderful Holy Spirit is this, verses 17 to 20, that there's the person of the Holy Spirit. The person, not only the purpose of the Holy Spirit, but the person of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, note it, he's holy. He's the Holy Spirit. I love that. Jesus says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. Note it, he's holy. He is altogether holy. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 26 to 27, the Bible says there that we who believe have the anointing, that is the giving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what does it go on to say there? That he teaches us all truth. Did you know that? You say, well, in fact, the scripture goes on to say that we have no need of a teacher. And you say, well, Jack, what are you doing up there teaching? I'm supposed to be teaching the Bible. But here's the wonderful thing. The word means that you have no need of a teacher with you constantly. You do not need to have a Socrates or a Plato walking along with you. You have the Holy Spirit. You realize right now that you can give your heart to Jesus Christ today, be born again by the Spirit of God, and move to Muckluck, Alaska, and be so far from a church. And you can hear the 10 speeds pull up. And a guy get off with the Bible and a Second Testament. And he can open up that Book of Mormon and he can talk to you all about it, even though you are in Muckluck, Alaska. And you don't have a phone number to call to talk to anybody about why you feel funny on the inside. Why what they're saying doesn't seem to jive inside you. What's the deal? You can be a brand new believer and the Holy Spirit's going, false doctrine. You cannot become a God. There's only one God, and that's me. You can't save yourself by works, but you're saved by the gift of God, which is faith. The alarm goes off. I know brand new believers, as you do, who when a cult knocks on their door or someone from the pulpit says something off or wrong, the antenna go up. That's the Holy Spirit saying, raise the antennas. Something's wrong. Thank God for this, Christian. Now, if you're sitting here today saying, well, you know, I think there's many ways to God. Know this, you do not have the Holy Spirit living in you because he does not teach that, nor does he think that. There's one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through him. Nobody. The Holy Spirit is holy. Secondly, he's knowable. So, Jack, you're wigging me out now. How can we know the Spirit? I don't know. I don't know exactly how that goes about, but it's true. The Holy Spirit's knowable. It's amazing. But you know him, Jesus says. You know him. Everybody take your pen and circle the word there, him. The pronoun, him. It is male gender. Oh, that doesn't offend any of you ladies, but after all, it is Father's Day, so we'll push it. Him. God says that he's a he. For whatever that's worth, he says he's a he. Jesus says the Holy Spirit's a him. Personal pronoun, a person. He didn't say, and you know it. Because another type of cult comes up with their briefcases selling you a magazine called the Awake, the Watchtower and Bible Tract Society publication. And they say, no, he's not a person. He's an it. He's just a power. Like, you know, kind of like, you know, Luke, may the force be with you kind of power. He's just a power. Oh, excuse me. He's not a he. It's an it. It's not a person. Really? Interesting. Jesus says here, he'll dwell or he has been with you. It's too bad Jesus didn't know that. Jesus called him a person. And Jesus says that he, in his function, dwells with you. Listen, also Jesus says he shall be in you. That's important. And thirdly, we'll know from Scripture in Acts chapter 19 that the Holy Spirit comes upon the believers for power. But what's very interesting and exciting about this is that he's knowable. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Jesus is talking about a futuristic event. This is great. Very quickly, and we're going to probably mention this again next week, but I want to say it now just for laying the foundational work for this. Keep this in mind. The disciples at this point had trafficked with Jesus, they had eaten with Jesus, they'd walked with Jesus, they had ministered with Jesus. The Holy Spirit was not dwelling in them. The Holy Spirit was with them, parakletos, alongside them to strengthen and comfort and encourage them, right? It's not until John chapter 20 that the believers experience the born-again relationship with God. The disciples, listen, the disciples at this portion, John 14, are not yet born again. They're not born again yet. They will not be born again until you reach John chapter 20, when Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. They're assembled together, and Jesus breathes on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. He comes inside them. It's not until Pentecost in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit operates in the third function, upon them. Quickly, watch. Para, alongside them. If you're a non-believer this morning, that is, if you're not born again, the Holy Spirit, since the day that you were born, has been alongside you. Disney calls the Holy Spirit your Jiminy Cricket. Remember Pinocchio? Remember how Jiminy Cricket was on Pinocchio's shoulder the whole time, telling him what's right and what's wrong? All your life without Jesus, the Holy Spirit has been on your shoulder saying, don't do this, don't do that, do the other, do that, do this. But he's still outside. You're not saved, but he's convicting you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Have you ever thought in your mind, boy, I hope hell's not real? You ever thought that? I know you've thought that, because God's Spirit will speak that to your heart. Because, man, I remember before I was a Christian. Listen to the hypocrisy of this. Oh, God, please, may hell not be real. I was acknowledging his presence, but I wanted him to let me slide right on in. Let me take all of my rebellion and all of my sin, and God, make some kind of a thing, you know? Do your thing so I can live like I wanna, but still, when it's all over, you know, cash in the chips and go into heaven. I want to live like hell now and be in heaven forever. People live like this. People think like that. And the Holy Spirit's saying, not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. I won't do that. What you're doing is wrong, Jack. You need to repent, and you better come to me before you die. Man, I'm thinking right now, for someone who's deaf, I look like an idiot. I'm sitting here talking to my hand. That's pretty spooky. But the Spirit is speaking. He's alongside you. But then when you accept Christ, John chapter 20, the disciples will be born again. He comes inside you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that we receive the Holy Spirit, and in that moment we are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. I had a sweet lady ask me yesterday, is it true you don't have membership at your church? Yeah, it's true. She looked at me and went, and she just looked at me. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says that if you believe in Christ, you're a member, and we're members one of another in Christ, that there's one body, there's one member in the body, the church. Yeah. Well, we can put your name on a list if you'd like. Okay. He's got to have it there. Listen, that's okay to have your name there, but your name better be in heaven. It won't matter to you at all if your name is written down on some church list, but has never been faxed or emailed to heaven. Can you imagine showing up? Hey, Lord, what's the deal? My name was written down in the church directory, man. What's the deal? Well, I don't see it here. Can you imagine? Look again. I have perfect vision. It's not here. Could you imagine? Oh, thank God that the Lord has removed that fear from us. because our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, written down in love by the blood of the Lamb. Very important. But you know him, and he shall dwell with you, and he shall be in you. The born-again experience, it's exciting. Thirdly, verse 18, the person of the Holy Spirit, he's personal. He's personal. Look what he says. Listen how tender this is. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. He's personal. I will not leave you orphaned or orphans. I will come to you. No longer orphaned. You guys, I want to give you just a snapshot of a personal testimony in my life. What I can remember, and it's been almost 24 years now, I guess, since I've been saved. I can tell you this, I'll never forget this reality. For some reason, and I'm not going to sit around and figure out why, because it's not important anymore, but for some reason, before I came to Jesus, I was always afraid, insecure about being alone. I would always try to find out where the next party is. Not because I like to party. I did not like to party. In fact, I didn't party. But I went to the parties because that's where people were at. I didn't want to be alone. If I was alone, I would turn on the TV or music. It seemed, and I didn't realize it at the time at all, I did not do well, I guess, by myself. I felt like I was missing out on something. I felt like there was something, you know, great going on and I was going to not be a part of it. And frankly, I just didn't want to be alone. And the amazing thing happened. In June of 1977, when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, the day I did that, it was a Monday night as Greg Laurie was preaching at Calvary Costa Mesa. From that moment on, that was supposed to have been a snap. There you go. From that moment on, I never again, ever felt lonely, alone. In fact, from that moment on, I sought to get a good book, the Bible, a notebook and a pencil, and go be alone, because I could be alone, because I was never from that moment on lonely. Does that make sense to anybody? When God came into my life, I was no longer lonely, so that I could be alone without fretting and fear. It was awesome. And I don't know if that relates to anybody, but I shared that. It's meaningful to me. He's personal. I will not leave you orphaned. Now, who's saying this? Jesus is. Look what he says. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. Wait a minute, Jesus. I thought you said you're leaving. I am leaving, but I'm going to come to you. I thought you were going to say in a moment that you're going to go away and we won't see you. Yeah, that's true, but I'm going to come to you. In fact, my Father's going to come too. Well, how many of you guys are moving in? We are moving in. Our will, our doctrine, our lives will be manifested in you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. By the way, Jesus will tell us, I will live in you also by the person of the Holy Spirit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, reminding us about just one of the many promises of Christ. It's a study taken from John chapter 14 and verses 15 through 24. Remember, you can hear the study called The Coming of the Holy Spirit once again, and in fact as many times as you like. Call us here at 909-393-7100. Or better yet, realradioactive.org. Again, realradioactive.org is the place to visit if you'd like to find out about past studies here on Real Radio, as well as becoming a subscriber to our podcasting of the program, realradioactive.org. Otherwise, if you'd like to contact us for any other reason, you can do so by telephone. Our number once again, 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.